Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your savings are with Zurich. Visit zurich.ie to find out more.
Drive Time on RTE Radio 1. Listen back on the RTE Radio Player app.
That time of year again when many of us are thinking of our well-earned annual holiday, if you're lucky enough to be able to go on one. And amidst the worry of cancelled flights and airport delays, we dream of downing tools, a week or two in the sun maybe, hiking up the mountains or heading west for fresh sea salty air. But learning to rest, to switch off in a big way, well, that's something many of us struggle with, and increasingly so. Dr. Paul Dalton is Associate Professor of Psychology at UCD and Head of Psychology at St. Vincent's University Hospital. And Paul is back with us for the next few weeks to help us understand the psychology of rest, to learn how to rest and to learn how to switch off. And by God, don't we need it. Paul, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thanks, Corbett. Thanks. Great to be back.
And I tell you, this is something we all need, I think. Definitions, first of all. When we use the word rest, we think we know what it is. What are you talking about?
Yeah, isn't it interesting? Because we have a tendency, Cormac, to think, us human beings, that we go from vertical to horizontal, that we kind of collapse, and that's rest. So the rest that we're going to be talking about over the next couple of weeks is somewhere in between that. And in fact, what the term that's used is a thing called wakeful resting. So wakeful resting is basically when we're involved in an activity that results in relaxation and recharges us. Now, those two things are important, that we're involved in something that that results in relaxation and recharges us. Now, lots of us can do things that feel relaxing, but they don't recharge us. Alcohol being a really good example of that.
Okay.
So people will say, yeah, there can be an immediate sense of, oh, ease, relaxation. It certainly doesn't recharge. But as you say, right, this is a time of year when people are fortunate enough maybe to get a little bit of a holiday in or not even to have a little bit of, maybe a little bit of downtime. And it's in kind of thinking about this, I was thinking, you know, that learning to rest is a behavior, it's a skill, and it's something that we can actually learn. So that's important for us to say as we set out.
And it's really important to know that, say, and what you might explain to us how to do that as well.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Briefly tell us the signs that we should or need a rest. What are they?
You know, I mean, certainly at this time of year, having been through everything that we've been through, and we'll talk a little bit about that. But very often when we are in need of rest, there's an emotional component to that where we can begin to feel symptoms that are a little bit like burnout. So maybe an increasing irritability, slightly lower mood, maybe increased agitation. And it's interesting, right? Because when we are in need of rest, we're restless, right? Mm. We're ironically agitated and we're on edge. It's almost like that we are unable to stop. We've talked about it before here, the tired but wired phenomenon. Mm. You know, and that's the vertical to horizontal. We find ourselves collapsing into bed and the mind is going at 100 miles an hour. So that comes back to that idea that rest is something that we can learn to do, okay? Our hearts and our minds and our brains are not like a computer or a machine. We're not going to learn this today. So that's why we're setting aside the next few weeks to kind of look at this really, to take rest really seriously. And
yeah.
Actually, the summer, sorry, Sarah.
Yeah, no, I think it's so important. It's just... who has the time for rest? You know, because we were speaking to Richard Horgan earlier in the program about what phones are doing to our minds.
Yeah.
And one of the things that he was saying is get the phone out of the bedroom.
Yeah.
You know, don't look at your phone first thing in the morning. Don't have it as your alarm clock. And I was immediately thinking, well, I do have it as my alarm clock.
Yeah.
And the first thing I do is turn off the alarm. And the next thing I do is check the news websites to see, is there any breaking news for the previous night? Mm-hmm, and, you know, check Twitter. Is there anything like whatever?
Yeah.
And like, I'm straight into it. But trying not to do that.
To sometimes describe Sarah as the last thing we stroke at night and the first thing we stroke in the morning. Okay. So
phones.
Anyway, phones. So you know, but actually, Sarah, it's a really good point. I heard that piece earlier on, you know, about younger people in particular, and I really think it's important to say, phone use. We do not need to be overly concerned about younger people on telephones. It's just as much a problem with older people. And I think the other thing to say is, as we set out on this kind of inquiry, is that we can also blame the phone when in fact, Sarah, this is part of the human condition and predates the technology that's in our hands. Our ancient philosophers, our psychologists of decades and hundreds of years ago grappled with the human incapacity to be still. The human incapacity to slow down and to be where I am. So yes, the gadget that's in our hand is maybe adds an additional layer to that. But I also think we got to be careful not to kind of blame it too much. Does that make a bit of sense?
It's good to keep that in mind, because trying to stay still is really, really difficult.
Sarah, it's something that but just to stress that again, it is something that we learn, that we can learn. And we do know that if we continue with an inability to slow down, with an inability to rest, that it's damaging our health. You know, there is a direct correlation in the literature between our inability to slow down and rest and cardiovascular disease, with depression, anxiety. All of those things are negatively but positively correlated with our inability to slow down.
So I think there might be very many of us out there who might know deep down, or indeed not so deep down, that you need rest, you need a break, you need the silence. But are there psychological or emotional factors then that just don't let ourselves give ourselves that real proper rest?
And there are. And I'm hoping over the next few weeks we'll get to lots of those. So beginning to unpack that a little bit, Sarah, right? It's been described that the society that we live in is one that's over-caffeinated and under-resourced. And I think that's something that certainly resonates with me. I walked out of a large acute hospital an hour ago, and there is that sense of us being over-caffeinated and under-resourced. So there's a biological basis as well to our inability to rest. But I also think, Sarah, it's really important that we don't over-psychologize our inability to rest. So I think just to stock take a little bit, okay, as little human beings, it's really important that we look at the wider perspective, the culture that we kind of swim in. I mean, we have been through 2.5 years of a global pandemic that's killed 6 million people. We're in this context of growing inflation, the unpredictable increase of living, the war in Ukraine, polarization in life. We're also, you know, probably the first generation where our society is now structured where both partners, if they're raising a family, have to work. Mm-hmm. Now, this is very new territory. We're in a structured society, actually, that puts an incredible amount of pressure on us. That is, in some ways, encourages the opposite of learning to rest.
So we're all on this treadmill constantly. Look, this is a series, right?
Yeah.
We've about 50 seconds left here or so. So we'd really like people, you can listen back in the podcast and so on, to join us in this journey. It could be one of the most important things you do in your life. Can you leave us, though, Paul, this week with a top tip? Something we can try.
Yeah.
And we can all come back next week and see, did it work for me or so on, yeah, in terms of rest.
So here's a little bit of homework, okay, for the week to come. And this is based on really good research, and actually it's practiced by really wise people. And I've called it, name it when it's done. So this is really simple. This does not mean you need to sit down and meditate for 20 minutes or do anything like that. But when you finish a task, name it in your mind. So when you drive home tonight or cycle home and you pull up outside the house, name that. I'm now at home. I've driven home. When you finish washing up the dishes, you take a breath, a pause. You say, I finished washing up the dishes. When you finish those bunch of emails that you've been putting off, the text that you put in. So when you complete a task, you name it.
In your mind.
Yeah. Now, this is based on really good science, because what it does, Cormac, is it interrupts the momentum.
Okay.
It slows us down. So really simple, really basic. When you finish a task, name it.
So there you go. I'll start right now. I've just finished a really interesting chat with Dr. Paul Dalton, and he'll be back to talk about rest again next week. Thank you, Paul.